Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, July 15th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry this is coming to you all on Monday night. I was planning to upload this on Sunday night, but I actually came down with a cold. So I'm still kind of feeling it right now, but I'm feeling a lot better than I was yesterday. No big deal, you know, nothing serious, but it gave me plenty of time yesterday to, like, you know, catch up on wrestling and catch up on some UFC and stuff. There was a lot of stuff on Saturday night. And a lot of stuff I wanted to cover on the show. So somewhat of a blessing in disguise that I was stuck at home, not able to do anything, just kind of resting in bed. But that all said, thanks as always for listening to the show, whether it's, you know, Sunday, Monday, whenever y'all are able to listen, I always appreciate y'all. And with that all being said, we got a lot to talk about this weekend because it was stacked. We got the SCI Scenic City Invitational, both nights, the entire tournament. I'll go through everything that happened. Also, we had the Actions Future Showcase Tournament, which happened throughout SCI weekend, as well as TWE the night before. I'll cover all those shows in chronological order. So, like, when I'm going through these results, we'll do TWE, and then SCI Night 1, and then Actions Future Showcase, and then SCI Night 2. So, I'll cover all of SCI right here on the Weekender. Also have results for the big AIW Absolution event. We had MLW Blood and Thunder, so another big show for MLW. We got DPW Tag Festival. We got NXT Level Up. We got some MLW spoilers for Never Say Never. That's going to be coming up soon. Also have predictions for TNA Slammiversary. That show's coming up this Saturday night. I'll be doing the review show live on the main Fightful YouTube channel, so please check that out. It'll be myself and Crest the Star, and most likely Joel Pearl. Hopefully Joel Pearl is there. I always like to do those shows with him, of course, as well. He'll be there live at the event, so it's just a matter of logistics, him going to the show, getting set up, but me and Crest will be able to hold it down either way, but, you know, we'll get it figured out. But expect me, Crest, and Joel over there Saturday night, breaking down Impact Wrestling's Slammiversary, or TNA Wrestling. It's funny, right when I got used to calling it Impact after all those years, it's back to TNA, but TNA Slammiversary will be covering that show right after it airs live on the Fightful YouTube channel. So a lot going on. And then also this weekend, not this past weekend, but this upcoming weekend, I'll be attending Action Wrestling's, they're doing like a live show at DOS Barbecue. I can't remember the name of the event off the top of my head at the moment, but Action Wrestling is going to be here live in Atlanta, Georgia. I do plan on going to that live. And a little sneak peek, the plan, well, actually, I don't want to spoil anything, but we do have a couple planned interviews for the spotlight the next couple weeks, based off of results from the SCI weekend. And then I'll also try to get y'all some quick audio interviews for Fightful Select right here for y'all when I'm live at Action Show at DOS Barbecue. If I can get something, you know, maybe some interviews before the show or during intermission, you know, depending on, sometimes it's tough, like after the show especially, because sometimes these events, like they'll wrap the show up, but they'll play like really loud music, or, you know, everyone will kind of congregate in the same areas. So like there's like a lot of noise and it's not the best for interviews. Just a little FYI for every now and then people are like, oh man, I really enjoyed that interview or this interview when you were at this or that show. But like, I wish I could get even more for you guys, but sometimes it's literally like too loud in the building to even be able to do an interview. And then you step outside and there's people talking there and, you know, you don't want to kill everyone's vibe and tell people like to get away from you, you know, just because you want to get an interview. So depends on the venue and stuff like that. But that all said, let's get into the results for this week, because as I mentioned, there is a lot to talk about, and I'm very excited to talk about it because SCI weekend is one of my favorite weekends in all of wrestling every year. I have attended the SCI tournament live a few different times, and, you know, it's near and dear to my heart for a lot of reasons, mainly to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit. And those of you who have followed the show, you know, for the 5+ years or whatever I've been doing it here, you know, I was like really disenchanted by the WWE product back in like, I mean, really like the 2010s to like the 2000, around like, you know, 2020s, honestly, until like Cody came back. But there were pockets of time there where things got good and there was things I was interested in. Like, I really enjoyed The Shield, for instance. And I really got into NXT when NXT like first started hitting the WWE network, when the network became a thing. And for years, I would go to NXT shows live in Nashville when I was living in Nashville, and stuff like that. And I always really enjoyed NXT. And that was way better for me as like a fan than the WWE product. And at the time, once again, this is, you know, pre-AEW, even the thought of AEW didn't exist yet. The indies really hadn't heated up. People were starting to kind of flock to New Japan and stuff like that. Like, I was starting to pay attention more to New Japan. And this is when, like, you know, Nakamura was really big over there. Okada, of course, was still big then. Tanahashi and those kind of guys. But, you know, it was just this really dark period for me in a lot of ways being a wrestling fan. And I almost had, like, one foot in, one foot out, because I also was, I still am very into mixed martial arts, but back then, I was becoming more and more and more of like an MMA and UFC fan in general. It was also my job at the time when I worked for MMA on Point. But my point being that it was like becoming easier and easier, unfortunately, to like fall out of love with wrestling around that time. But I still, of course, kept up with the WWE, and I was like a diehard NXT fan, and I would still pop in and out for like Ring of Honor and New Japan and those kind of things. And the reason I'm saying all this is because I really fell in love with wrestling all over again because of the Southeast independent wrestling scene. And the main companies that really did that for me were Southern Underground Pro, Sup Graps, which ran out of Nashville. They don't really run shows anymore for a variety of reasons. And mainly, honestly, because the people in charge of the shows are super busy now, and because it's hard for them to lock down. Like, they can't really get the same venues they used to be able to get because of Live Nation. It's a long story. But anyways, Southern Underground Pro was massive for getting my love of professional wrestling back, because I got to go to those shows live, and SCI, which we're about to be talking about, and Action Wrestling as well. But SCI, especially then, was another company I would travel from Nashville to Chattanooga, where they run their shows, and I would go to like high school gyms and stuff where they would run their events, and it was a lot of the same talent at those shows as Sup Graps. A lot of the same people behind the scenes. And it was also around that time when I started doing my Fight Talk podcast, my own independent podcast that I did for years. And a lot of the interviews I was able to get back then were people that wrestled in companies like Sup and like SCI. So, you know, these companies mean a lot to me in my fandom of pro wrestling. And people like Dylan Hales, I give like a lot of respect to. And he's a guy who you guys hear on commentary on IWTV on like all these events all over the place, not just SCI, but on, you know, across the whole platform, guys like that, that, you know, that are very influential in like booking these shows and picking, you know, the talents who are going to be, you know, regulars and who gets pushed and who doesn't and all that kind of stuff. And I've just become a very big fan over the years of the people behind the scenes at the SCI. I mean, for instance, Scott Hensley, who is the main promoter of the SCI, he was on the spotlight this past week with myself and Jeremy, covering, you know, what was going to be going on and previewing this whole weekend we're about to be talking about and discussing here. Guys like Matt Griffin, you know, who's also been on the spotlight. You know, people that I'm a very big fan of their work and what they're doing for independent wrestling and for wrestling in general. And it means a lot to me as a fan, and also, you know, professionally, to whatever degree you want to call this professionally. You know, like the fact that I get to talk about independent wrestling on Fightful platforms, and I've been able to do it as long as I have, a lot of the credit goes to these kind of companies existing and, you know, wanting to cover these companies and wanting to know more about the wrestlers and the people behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. So that's a little bit of a, you know, laying the groundwork for how important, you know, weekends like this are for me as a fan. And we're going to talk about all the results right now. So we're going to do this chronologically, as I mentioned, as far as SCI weekend. The entire results of the show are not going to be chronological, but everything that happened in that SCI universe, we'll call it, is all going to be covered chronologically here. So we're going to start off with the TWE Night Before 2024 show. This happened from TWE Chattanooga. That's where all of these events happen for SCI weekend, in Red Bank, Tennessee, which is Chattanooga, Tennessee, for those of you who might know Chattanooga. This show, all of these shows that we're going to cover for SCI weekend took place on independentwrestling.tv. Please use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK. All is one word, no spaces. Put that in the promo code spot of IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv. So let the platform know that I sent you their way. Appreciate when you use that code. And this show took place on July 11th. So this was on Thursday night. This aired, so once again, chronologically, Wednesday night, myself and Jeremy interviewed Scott Hensley about the weekend. That interview aired on Thursday morning during the spotlight live on Fightful, and then Thursday night was TWE. These are the results. Show started off with Darian Bengtson, who is a current TWE champion. This is non-title against Daniel Makabe. Daniel Makabe, big weekend for him. His retirement match was during SCI Night 1, which we'll talk about here shortly. Bengtson gets the win over Makabe in the opener. The finish here was basically a bunch of back-and-forth chain wrestling, and Bengtson eventually shoots a half and pins Makabe 1-2-3. After that, we had Mackenzie Morgan over Love Doug. The finish here was Morgan using Doug's own arm for a rear naked choke and forcing him to tap out to get the submission victory. After that, we had the Akuto Death Society, team of Chris Kronk and Kevin Ryan, over Thunder and Steel, the team of Sigrid, Daughter of Tyr, and Will Steel. The finish of this one was, it was like similar to DIY's finish, where they do like the double, like the kick and knee kind of like combination at the same time. Similar to that, it was like a double team kick and running knee combo onto Steel for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the TWE Tag Team titles on the line. Totally Shook, the team of Jameson Shook and Finesse, defend and retain their championships over the Good Hand combination of Shug D and Casey Owens. The finish of this one was Jameson picking up Owens in kind of like an awful waffle position, and then Finesse hits a cutter, and Jameson comes down with almost like a Styles Clash. It's very hard to explain what I'm trying to explain. You kind of got to see it. But once again, like, if you know the awful waffle from Chuck Taylor, Jameson basically picks up Owens like that, and then Finesse runs up and hits a cutter, and Jameson comes down, you know, belly down, like a kind of like a Styles Clash. So it's kind of like a Styles Clash cutter combination for the 1-2-3 to retain the TWE Tag Team titles. After that, we have Rob Killjoy over Damon Stryker. The finish of this one was Killjoy reversing a Lion Salt into hitting a final shot, or at least I call it the final shot. It's like the Uranagi version of the final shot that Adam Cole, he used to use it like more as a finisher, but he uses it like as a setup now, but basically a vertical suplex into like a brain buster on your own knee. It's like a, not a Uranagi, Yoshigiroshi is what I meant to say. I think I might have said Uranagi a second ago. I meant to say Yoshigiroshi. But anyways, I'm going to call it the final shot for Rob Killjoy getting the win over Damon Stryker. After that, we had Eden Monroe over Brayden Toon to defend and retain the Gig City title. The finish of this one was Casey Owens comes out and distracts from the outside. And while Brayden Toon is distracted by Owens, Eden comes up and hits Brayden with a hidden blade from behind for the 1-2-3. Up next, we had an 8-person tag team match where Aaron Wade, Hunter Drake, TJ Crawford, and Tyler Franks defeated Manders, Anakin Murphy, Cody Manhorn, and Tim Bosby. The finish of this one was the referee was distracted. Wade dick kicks Manhorn and then rolls him up with a small package for the 3 count. It was interesting also seeing so many combinations of people with so much like history with one another and like their young careers. Guys like Hunter Drake and Tyler Franks being on the same team, the former Talladega Knights. That's actually how I think I became familiar with both guys. Back in their New South days, they're both still heavily involved in New South, but we're a tag team years back. Also, Aaron Wade on one side, Cody Manhorn on the other, Squatting Dragons, a lot of history there. So, yeah, this is a lot of fun. And the main event of the show, we had Jaden Newman with the Rev, Dan Wilson, in his corner over Paul London. Paul London, absolute legend. Can't say enough good things about him. If you want to know more about Paul London and, you know, the decision to book him for the show, definitely check out that interview with Scott Hensley I was talking about on the Spotlight this past Thursday. But that said, this was a great match. And, you know, throughout the entire weekend, Paul London just kept getting more and more over with the same crowd that he was basically performing in front of the same people. And, you know, with his shtick, you know, the way he's, if you haven't seen Paul London in a long time, like he sings his entrance music. And sings it more than once sometimes while he's out there. But the finish of this one was Paul London running into the Kindred Sing Power Slam by Jaden Newman, who gets the 1-2-3. after the match, Paul London gets a microphone and basically puts over Jaden. He's known Jaden for a long time. He's been like somewhat of a mentor to him over the years. And Paul basically says that Jaden has more heart than Paul does, and that he's going to be very successful, and he's even better than Paul London was. He's going to be better than him, like, all time one day, basically. And as this is happening, Channing Thomas comes out of nowhere and attacks Jaden Newman to end the show. So this all leads into Scenic City Invitational Night 1. As I mentioned before, very important, companies that I'm mentioning here to my fandom, and once again to me being able to cover this stuff for you guys on the Weekender. But this tournament specifically, like in particular, this SCI tournament is one of, if not my favorite tournaments every single year. It's the tournament I look forward to the most every year. I think I can confidently say that. And this tournament did not disappoint. These are the results we had. It's also available, of course, on independentwrestling.tv from Red Bank, Tennessee, TW Arena. This show took place on July 12th, so this is Friday night, and these are the results. We had SCI first round, Rico Gonzalez over Rob Killjoy. The finish of this one was Killjoy attempting a top rope Frankensteiner and Rico holding the rope, so Killjoy like crashes and burns, and then Gonzalez hits his patented apron standing top rope double stomp, which he uses as a finisher and a signature move. Like, he's finished people with that as well. But instead of going for the cover, he winds up doing an arm trap Rikishi driver to seal the deal. So Rico over Rob Killjoy in the first round. After that, we had SCI first round, Channing Thomas with Sydney Bacabella in his corner over Rachel Armstrong. Channing gets the win in this one when he rolls through a top rope head scissors attempt in, like, he like rolls right through into a sit out power bomb, which is really impressive, and then follows up immediately with a pile driver for the 1-2-3 to advance. After that, we had SCI first round Manders, who won last year's tournament, trying to go back to back, and nobody in history up to this point has ever, you know, won two SCI tournaments nonetheless back to back. We had Manders over TJ Crawford. Manders gets the win after hitting a lariat to the back and then hitting a running lariat for the three count. Up next, we had SCI first round, Matt Mikowski over Aaron Wade. Aaron Wade won the SCI Rumble to be entered into this tournament this year and also got to choose his first round opponent and try to make a big statement by choosing Matt Mikowski. Aaron Wade, a high level practitioner of martial arts in Taekwondo. And then Matt Mikowski, who has legitimately competed at very high level mixed martial arts. So this was a great stylistic matchup. Mikowski gets the win in this one with the finish, which was a Michinoku driver by Aaron Wade, but a kick out at two from Mikowski. Mikowski immediately grabs an arm and wraps his leg around the head of Wade from the bottom and locks in a triangle choke. So Michinoku driver, 1-2, kick out right into the triangle, and he taps out. So basically, Mikowski does a very similar finish. Actually, my man, Jumpin' Johnny Mosley, a.k.a. Mose, a.k.a. number one guest of the spotlight as far as like the person y'all have heard from the most as a guest on that show, who I can't wait to see in person, hopefully this Sunday in Atlanta at Action Wrestling. Mose compared this finish to the finish of Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva 1, which I very much appreciate that comparison because it pretty much was just like that, which I really appreciated. And so once again, Mikowski advances. After that, we had SCI first round, Paul London over Landon Hale. The finish here was Landon going for an SPO driver and Paul London doing a thumb to the eye, and then following up with an O'Connor roll and grabbing the ropes for leverage so Landon can't kick out. So Paul London with a dirty pin to advance in the tournament. After that, we had SCI first round Tank with Reverend Dan Wilson defeats Mad Dog Connolly. The finish here was a spinning back fist by Tank, followed by a choke breaker, followed by a belly down Cobra Clutch submission hold. Mad Dog eventually passes out and the referee has to stop it. So Tank by submission, technical submission, ref stoppage. And this one, stylistically, you know, this was a guaranteed banger. A lot of these matches kind of like booked themselves, and we talked about that with Scott on Thursday, but this one really stood out as something definitely different on the show, and it lived up to it. And Mad Dog is a guy who just keeps kind of gaining more and more of like a cult following on the indie scene right now. Just keep a lookout for him. And Tank, absolute legend, especially in the Southeast, especially in a building like the TW Arena. So he advances. After that, we had SCI first round, Darian Bengtson over Shug D. Bengtson, once again, the TWE champion, tournament, the title rather is not, of course, defended throughout this tournament. Same with, Manders, Action Wrestling Championship. He is currently the reigning defending Action Wrestling Champion. Bengtson is very, very difficult to defeat in this building. Rarely ever happens, and gets a big win over Shug D in the first round. The finish here was reversing a schoolboy with a high cradle pin and getting the three count. After that, we had SCI. This is the last first round match. We had Adam Priest over Jaden Newman, who had the Rev Dan Wilson in his corner. Priest, going into this tournament, had made the finals, I believe, the last 2 years, I want to say. I think 2 years in a row coming into this year, he was in the finals, but did not win the tournament. Jaden Newman has won this whole thing before and also helps work behind the scenes. And this is basically like, this is his building, the TW Arena. I've talked a lot about that over the years, but he trains people out of that building. He started as a teenager himself. So this was a big match, and I did not expect it to go the way that it did as far as like the time. Now, I will say, just for the record, going into this tournament, me and Jeremy did our picks for the spotlight. Jeremy took Matt Mikowski, I took Adam Priest. So just keep that in mind as we go through these matches and these results. So I did expect Adam Priest to win over Jaden Newman, but I didn't expect it to happen in less than 5 minutes. Priest gets the job done quick. Basically, I mean, it's kind of a home crowd for both guys because Priest wrestles in front of these fans so often, but I mean, this is legit the home of Jaden Newman. And the finish here was it's kind of hard to explain because basically Priest just had the upper hand the whole match, and it was short, and Jaden literally just runs at Priest, and Priest hits him with the DDT, 1, 2, 3. And the main event of the show, we had Dana Makabe in his retirement match defeating Kevin Koo. The two of these guys are real life, very, very good friends with one another. There was a lot of blood in this one, and it was a great send-off from Makabe. The finish of this match, I'll do my best to explain, but basically, Makabe, who of course works body parts throughout his matches, very technically sound, he throws Koo down to the ground by his arm and does Timothy Thatcher-style arm stomps on the ground. He goes for a cattle mutilation, but Koo blocks it. But after the block, Makabe stomps his leg. Koo defiantly slaps Makabe in just like a last, ditch effort to get something going. And Makabe just puts his foot behind Koo's knee and just kind of like forces him down to a knee on the ground. Then he like kisses him on the cheek or says something to him, like gets kind of like face to face with him. And this is going to be it. Like he's putting Kevin out of his misery, and he hits him with one of those just straight baseball punches right to the face, falls back on top of Kevin Koo. 1, 2, 3. Dana Makabe has retired on a victory over Kevin Koo. This was great stuff. Can't do it justice. Check it out. And thank you very much, Dana Makabe, for all the great memories. I very big fan of his, and yeah, it means a lot to me as a fan to see this. And I know it meant a lot to Dylan Hales on commentary, Moe's on commentary, everyone involved. Very cool stuff. And after the match, Dana Makabe does a speech. And both guys actually do a speech, kind of putting one another over, basically. And they hug in the middle of the ring, and that's that. Moving on to Action Future Showcase. This happened, once again, same arena, TW Arena, Red Bank, Tennessee. This happened on July the 13th. So this is on Saturday afternoon. This is Action Future Showcase. So a joint promotional, event technically from Action Wrestling and SCI, two companies who work very hand in hand with one another. Also available on independentwrestling.tv, and these are the results. If you don't know how Futures works, by the way, it is first round matches are all triple threats, and then the finals is a triple threat as well. I didn't mention for SCI, I was just gonna guess, like, assuming that y'all knew, but the way that SCI works is you have all first round singles matches, and then second round of singles matches as well. There is a scramble that I'll talk about where if you win the scramble, you get in if somebody like doesn't advance in the first round, if there's like a double draw or a count out or something like that. And the final round of the SCI is a four-way elimination match. So once again, for the Futures, first triple threat match we have is Jameson Shook over Casey Owens and Mackenzie Morgan. The finish of this one was an assault driver by Jameson onto, well, let me try to explain this. He does it to Morgan on top of Owens and then pins Owens, if that makes sense. So hits the assault driver onto Morgan on top of the body of Casey Owens and then pins Casey Owens. 1, 2, 3. Jameson Shook advances. After that, we had another first round match. Anakin Murphy defeats Dex Royal and Joseph Alexander. The finish of this one was reversing a pin by Dex Royal into a crucifix pin for the 1, 2, 3. So Murphy pins Royal to advance. In the last first round match, we have Tim Bosby over Cody Fluffman and Tyler Stevens. Tyler Stevens, also known as The Wall. Bosby, I knew the least about of these three, and I think that was kind of the general consensus, but very, very impressive guy. He's got a lot of size, a lot of athleticism, massive, you know, kind of like Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan, Chad Gable type vibes, like very high school. Well, I know he was like a high school, I'm assuming probably collegiate wrestler as well, but very technically sound. I really enjoyed his work, and I did not expect him to win this one. Out of these three, if you would have asked me, because I didn't do official predictions going into this, so I don't want to say who I would have chose to win this whole thing, but in this specific match, I think that Fluffman and The Wall were two guys that were, I mean, let me put it this way, of the nine people that were in this thing, if you had to ask me the three that I think had the best chance of winning the whole thing, I would say Cody Fluffman, Tyler Stevens, and Jameson Shook, for various reasons. And with Fluffman and Stevens being in the same match, I was like, well, one of the two of them is for sure going to win. Like, I thought there was no chance Bosby was winning this thing. And he proved me wrong, and this was a great match. I really enjoyed the work of all three of these guys in this one. The finish here was Bosby hitting an F5 onto Fluffman for the three count. After that, we had a gauntlet match. The rest of these are non-tournament until the main event. So we had a gauntlet match where Finesse defeats Aaron Roberts, Cruz Rivera, Damon Stryker, Eddie Hendricks, Jay Lucas, Jay Tyler, and Jay Villa. The finish here was a scissor kick by Finesse onto Tyler for the three count. That was what it came down to at the end. After that, we had Kai McKenna over Alexis Littlefoot in one-on-one action. The finish here was a blue cauldron bomb, which is basically, it's like the, I call it the you can't see me bomb. It's the thing that Cena does, kind of like the blue thunderbomb type move. Like it's like a release blue thunderbomb, basically. But it's like the move that Cena does before he does the you can't see me and hits the ropes and does the little five knuckle shuffle. So anyways, there you go. Kai McKenna gets on with that. After that, we had Love Doug over Andres Reyes. The finish here was Love Doug hitting sliced bread number 2 for the 1, 2, 3. After that, we had Gary J over Mortar. The finish here was Gary J. Mortar goes for a top rope moonsault, and Gary gets out of the way, and then Gary follows up with like a running knockout elbow to the head for the 1, 2, 3. And the main event of the show, we had the Future Showcase Tournament Final. This is a three-way match. I will do my best to try to explain the finish here. So basically, Jameson hits Anakin Murphy with like a rock bottom backbreaker. So think choke breaker, but just like from a rock bottom position, and then follows up with an assault driver onto Murphy. 1, 2, 3. Jameson Shook wins the Action Wrestling Future Showcase tournament. After the match, all the opponents hug one another, and the locker room clears out and enters the ring. And Jameson celebrates his tournament win. So a very big victory for Jameson Shook. He's been doing great work out of TWE, and he's one half of the TWE Tag Team Champions, as I mentioned, with the last set of results along with Finesse. So got a lot of great stuff going for him. Doing a lot of stuff with like Dylan Hales that we've seen, and he's been getting put over by a lot of people lately as someone to definitely keep your eye on. And I hope you guys do, because I'll let you know right now, one of the guests that's going to be coming up soon for the spotlight, I believe not this week, but next week, we will be interviewing Jameson Shook. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Check that out on the spotlight on Fightful when it's available. Moving on, we had the Scenic City Invitational Tournament, Night 2. This is, of course, TWE Arena, Red Bank, Tennessee, independentwrestling.tv. This took place on July 13th. So this was the same day at nighttime of the Action Future Showcase that we just covered. And I'll go through all the results right here. The show started with the scramble match I was talking about where, had somebody not been able to advance in the first round, the winner of the scramble would be put in the tournament for the second round. But the caveat here now, or the reward now rather, is whoever wins this match, because it can't be in the tournament this year, they get automatic entry into next year's tournament. So we're going to find out the first entrant to the SCI tournament 2026. The match we got here, we got Cody Manhorn defeating Big Dave, Braden Toon, Hunter Drake, Jameson Shook, and Nick Iggy. Manhorn gets the win after hitting an attitude adjustment onto Hunter Drake and getting the 1-2-3. Huge win for Cody Manhorn, of course, longtime partner of Aaron Wade. Aaron Wade had a big breakout year this year getting into the tournament through the Rumble. Cody Manhorn, you also might know as referee Shiny Shoes. That guy's been putting in work. I'm very happy to see where he's at. He's gotten so good. The progression he's made over the years, I'm very happy to see where he's at. And it's very cool to know he's going to be part of SCI 2026. So once again, Cody Manhorn is the winner there. After that, we had SCI second round. Rico Gonzalez defeats Paul London to advance. The finish here was basically London going for the same finish he got Hale with on night one. So he goes for the O'Connor roll and tries to grab the rope, but he can't. And Rico rolls through and grabs the rope himself. So he gives London a little taste of his own medicine and picks up the win to advance. After that, we had SCI round two. Adam Priest defeats Manders to advance. Adam Priest taking out last year's winner. The finish here was Manders going... he hits a lariat, and then he goes for another running lariat, and Priest reverses that with a crucifix pin and sticks him for the three count. Up next, we had SCI round two. Matt Makowski defeats Darian Bengston. The finish here was the top rope flying cross arm breaker by Makowski to force Bengston to tap out. I love this finish so much. I think Kushida is really the only other person I've seen do this move, or at least do it to like the effectiveness of Makowski. But I'm going to be honest, Makowski, the way Makowski rotates midair when he hits this thing is even more impressive than Kushida. I know that's saying a lot, and I know I'm a big Makowski fan, but this thing is so impressive every time he hits it. All of his arm bars. I'm such a big fan of the guy's in-ring work. But great finish. And even like Moe's and Dylan on commentary were like struck by it. They were like, I think they like announced the winner. And the first thing you hear is Moe's like, that was sick. They were like in awe. So love to see it. Matt Makowski not only advances, but he defeats Darian Benson, who once again, I mentioned is like almost impossible to defeat in this venue, this building. After that, we had SCI round two. Tank with the Rev on the outside defeats Channing Thomas with Sydney Bacabella on the outside. It was funny because Bacabella and Papa Hales are going at it. Papa Hales goes skins, takes his shirt off, and goes after Bacabella. They have a long-standing feud that goes back decades with one another, so that was cool to see pre-match. The finish of this one was Channing Thomas almost runs into Baca Bella, who's standing on the ring apron, so he avoids hitting him. And while that happens, Tank gets up from behind Channing and does a backslide, pins him 1-2-3. So that means our finals are going to be Rico Gonzalez versus Adam Priest versus Matt Mikowski versus Tank. We've got some non-tournament matches, and then the main event, we have the final. So we had a six-person tag match where the Good Hand team of The Wall, Tyler Stevens, Shug D, and Casey Owens defeat Landon Hale, Rachel Armstrong, and Rob Killjoy. The finish of this one was Shug D hitting, I call it Ode to Luigi because that's how I remember Kurt Stallion. That's what he used to call the move. It's basically like a running headbutt, just head-to-head. And the name Ode to Luigi is like, Luigi does like a similar move in like the Mario games. Anyways, he hits that onto Landon Hale, 1-2-3. Good Hand gets the win there. After that, we had TJ Crawford over Anakin Murphy. The finish of this one was Crawford tripping Murphy into like a 619 position onto the middle rope. He kicks the rope into his throat and then follows up with a, I wrote down GTS soccer kick to the back. That's the best way I can describe it. Basically a go to sleep, but instead of coming down with like a knee to the face, he kicks Murphy in the back and then pins him for the three count. After that, we had Aaron Wade over Mad Dog Connolly by count out. The finish here was Connolly going for like a powerbomb or a pile drive or something on the ring apron, and Wade does a back body drop, and Mad Dog hits the ring apron, slides to the outside, and just can't beat the 10 count to get back into the ring, so Wade gets the W. And then we had the SCI Finals. This is a four-way elimination match to crown the winner of the SCI 2020 Invitational Tournament. I will explain all of the eliminations here. Before the match gets started, Adam Priest takes out Tank with a chair, so we don't know if Tank's even going to be in this match. It's essentially like a three-way dance type situation, like an elimination three-way match for all we know, as this thing is kind of playing out. So the first pinfall, or sorry, the first elimination we have actually wasn't a pinfall. The first elimination we have was a submission. We had Matt Mikowski submitting Rico Gonzalez. Matt hits him, or locks him in rather, a cattle mutilation and forces Rico to tap out. So we're down to Mikowski and Priest. Priest winds up eliminating Mikowski. The finish there is Priest basically ducks like a leaping head kick and hits just a quick DDT on Mikowski. 1-2-3. And that was like 12 minutes in the match. Rico got eliminated like 10 minutes in. And then so like another like minute and a half passes and Priest hits that DDT on Mikowski. It looks like Priest might have won this whole thing. Out comes Tank with a steel chair. And we wind up basically getting like a mini hardcore match between Adam Priest and Tank to crown the SCI winner. Tank comes out and hits Priest in the head with the chair. Tank hits a Saito suplex through a door that was like propped up on the ring apron on the outside. That was nasty. Priest grabs a piece of the broken door that he just went through and just starts bashing Tank in the head with it. And then they both wind up like rolling into the ring and they're both hurt. Priest tries to hit Tank in the head with the chair, but Tank hits him with a body shot. And when the body shot lands, Priest drops the chair onto the mat and Tank's in perfect position to where Priest can grab Tank by the head and just drop straight down. Priest hits a DDT onto the chair, onto Tank, and then pins him 1-2-3. Adam Priest is officially the winner of the SCI Tournament 2024. After the match, previous winners of the tournament, AC Mack, Manders, and Jaden Newman, who were all present there in the venue, they present Priest with the trophy, and it looks like Priest is going to be kind of happy-go-lucky. The fans have seen him go through a lot over the years, and you think it's going to be like a heartfelt moment, and all of a sudden, Priest just domes Manders with this trophy, just hits him so damn hard in the head with it, the thing just explodes. And then Priest follows up by DDTing Jaden Newman, and AC Mack, who has retired, he just kind of gets out of there. But the show ends with Adam Priest taking out Manders, taking out Jaden Newman, and standing tall as the winner of the tournament. And I can officially say it now, unless, you know, something happens, things fall through. The plan is to have Adam Priest on the spotlight this Thursday. We will be talking about his SCI win. We'll talk about his recent feud with Cruel. You know, we're going to talk about what he's got going on with Manders. I mean, as I mentioned, Manders is currently the Action Wrestling World Champion. I'd imagine Priest wants that title back. He's been that champion. He's held that championship multiple times. So, you know, I'm very interested to hear what Adam Priest has to say, and I hope you guys check it out. That is, once again, the plan for this Thursday, is to have Adam Priest on the show. Card always subject to change, though. You know, things happen, but, you know, I'm looking forward to having Priest on and having Jameson Shook on for you guys. So, yeah, once again, congratulations to Adam Priest for winning the Scenic City Invitational 2024 tournament. Moving on to non-SCI action from the weekend, we had a big show from AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling. This is Absolution. The show took place out of Cleveland, Ohio, the Temple Live Asylum Room. This was on July 30th, so also on Saturday night on Triller TV Plus. I'm not endorsed or sponsored by Triller TV Plus, but, you know, it is a part of their monthly package. I think you get a lot of value over there for that money. So if you like AIW, I'd recommend checking the show out over there. These are the results. There was a pre-show six-way scramble match that I don't know the result for, but it was Austin James versus Shelby Wilder versus Trey Lamar versus Tyler Jordan versus Tyson Riggs versus Zay Garcia. But once again, I don't have the result for that. Hope Trey Lamar got the win. Nothing against anyone else, but I've always been a long-time Trey Lamar guy. The first actual match we have on the show, we have Jocelyn Navarro over Zaya Brookside. The finish of this one was Navarro hitting Widow's Peak Victoria style for the 1-2-3. I always love Victoria having the, what was that band, Tattoo. All the things she said, that was a banger of a theme song. Back when she had like Stevie Richards as her manager, good times back there in the WWE. After that, we had the AIW Tag Team titles on the line. We had PME, the team of Marino Tenaglia and Philly Collins, along with Bill Alfonso as their manager. They defeat Money Shot, the team of Zach Nystrom and Elijah Dean, along with the Duke on the outside for them. They become the new AIW Tag Team Champions. The finish here was Papa Pepperoni coming out for the distraction, and PME hits Sunset Dreams. Papa makes the count, 1-2-3. Once again, we have new champs. And this is a little bit of a theme throughout the show of Bill Alfonso helping out his team against Cash's King, who, of course, Money Shot, a part of Cash's King. We had Mikey Montgomery over Joey Janela in the next one. The finish here was Janela hitting a super kick, HBK style, and like falling backwards on top of Montgomery. But Montgomery grabs Janela by the arms and locks him up in a crucifix pin and pins him for the three count. After that, we had a special referee match, Magnum CK refereeing. This is Derek Dillinger with Katie Arquette as his manager over Danhausen. The finish of this one was Danhausen going old school. He's got the railroad spike, which back when I discovered Danhausen years ago, he was a much darker version of the Danhausen that most people are familiar with. He tapped into that paint and that energy in this match, which was a real throwback for me. If you want to check some of that stuff out, like, I actually know a little bit about Danhausen before he was even wearing the face paint, but when I started really noticing him and he started like wrestling live in the areas that I was going to shows, check out his work in like Southern Underground Pro, for instance, much darker Danhausen and always rocking that spike. He used to come out in like body bags and trash bags and stuff too. It was really creepy. But anyway, the finish here was Danhausen grabbing the spike and he goes to use it on Dillinger. He runs at him and he misses and he gets it stuck in the top turnbuckle. And with that being stuck in the turnbuckle, can't get it out. Dillinger schoolboys him, holds the tights for extra leverage, 1-2-3. After that, we had a submit or surrender match. Shaw Mason defeats Dominic Greeny. The finish, or the stipulations rather, are like pretty simple here. It's basically like an I quit match or a submission match. The finish of this one was pretty brutal. I can't really do it justice, but like Shaw Mason takes this plastic bin and just explodes it on the head of Dominic Green. He just gives him a brutal headshot with that thing. It just shatters. Hits him with an angle slam on an open door, but onto the legs of the open door. Also brutal. Then he takes Dom's shoe off and he bashes him 3 times with it with a chair. And then he puts him in an ankle lock and the referee puts a mic up to Greeny's face and Greeny quits. I mean, great stuff. Brutal finish. Shawn Mason over Dominic Greeny. Up next, we have the AIW Intense title on the line in a four-way ladder match. Wes Barkley becomes the new champion by defeating Eric Taylor, who had the Duke in his corner, who was the champion coming in, along with Alec Price and Matthew Justice. The finish of this one was Eric Taylor hanging from the belt, similar to Jeff Hardy back in the day. And if you're going to have Jeff Hardy hanging up there, you might as well also have an Edge. So basically what winds up happening is Taylor's hanging from the belt because Bill Alfonso grabs the ladder from under him. So he's just hanging there, can't really do anything. And we get an Edge-style spear from Matthew Justice from the top rope, which knocks Taylor off. But at the same time, the belt flies off and hits the ground. As this is all happening, Wes Barkley capitalizes, hits a spear on Matthew Justice through a door that was propped up in the corner. Wes Barkley picks the belt up off the ground, and he is crowned your AIW Intense Champion once again. And once again, to the theme, Bill Alfonso helped PME defeat Cassius King to win championship gold earlier in the night, and he did the same just now for Wes Barkley. And then in the next match we had, this was an 8-person tag team match, Joshua Bishop, Sam Holloway, Filthy Tom Lawler, and Nathan Zagura. Nathan Zagura is a Cleveland Browns color analyst who is 0-0 going into this match, but of course this being in Cleveland, big hometown guy there. They defeat the team of Jeff Jarrett, members only, which is Calvin G. Lewis and Malcolm Cambridge, and Satnam Singh, along with Karrion Jarrett on the outside. The finish here was basically like Jarrett and Satnam kind of like abandon members only, and Bishop and Lawler hit guitar shots onto both members of members only, and then they let Nathan Zagura hit a rock bottom onto Calvin G. Lewis, pins him 1-2-3. Team Bishop gets the W. And the main event of the show, the AIW Absolute Championship on the line, Chuck Stone defends and retains over Isaiah Broner. This was a big shock, especially considering how the rest of the night had been going for Cassius King, because Chuck Stone, of course, a member of that group as well. So they've been losing titles all throughout the show. Bill Alfonso comes out and tries to help with this one as well. Essentially, the finish comes down to Fonzie hits Chuck Stone in the head with a chair. Broner hits a running lariat, and surprisingly, Chuck Stone kicks out at 2. He reverses another running lariat attempt with a headbutt, and then hits a powerbomb backbreaker. So Chuck Stone hits a really nice powerbomb backbreaker onto Broner and pins him for the 1-2-3 to retain his title. So Fonzie unable to, replicate the success once again, and Broner comes up short. After the match, Cassius King comes to the ring to celebrate, and they do a bunch of trash talk. Alec Price, Joshua Bishop, and Derek Dillinger all come out, and it looks like there's going to be an impromptu four-way match for the Absolute Championship. And after teasing that Chuck is going to do it, he winds up just leaving with Cassius King to close the show. Up next, got results for MLW Blood and Thunder. This show took place on July 12th, so this was on Friday night. It's available for free on YouTube. Just search for the MLW YouTube channel. I very much appreciate the free wrestling. And the show took place at the Coliseum in St. Petersburg, Florida. These are the results. Show started off with Atlantis Jr. over Akamura in an Opera Cup first round match. The finish here was an airplane spin bomb, kick out at 2, followed up with a top rope lowdown, like the frog splash lowdown style. Basically, anyone who does a frog splash where they go deep between the legs, instead of to the outside, D'Lo Brown style, I'll call it the lowdown. So Atlantis Jr. with the lowdown pins, current one half of the MLW Tag Team Champions, Akamura, to advance in the Opera Cup. After that, we had Opera Cup first round. Filthy Tom Lawler defeats Jake Crist to advance. The finish here was a top rope flying Kimura and just keeps it locked in. Crist passes out to the pain. Referee stops it. So technical submission. Tom Lawler gets the win with flying top rope Kimura for the win to advance. After that, we had Minoru Suzuki with Kwan on the outside over Akira. The finish here was a rear naked choke, followed up by a stalling Gotch-style pile driver for Suzuki to get the win. Also, that just reminded me, speaking of like Akira and stuff, closely tied throughout his MLW run, but Ricky Shane Page, it's been announced right here on Fightful Select that RSP is apparently a free agent and has left MLW, so that'll be very interesting to see what's in the future for RSP. He had a lot of unfinished business in GCW still that they can still play too. If you know, he can play ball with Brett. I have no idea what the backstage history and all that is there, but interested to see what's next for RSP. After that, we had a Three Stages of Destruction match. This was Mads Cruel Kruger defeating Matthew Justice. Justice had Bill Alfonso in his corner. The first fall was a First Blood match that Matthew Justice won after hitting Cruel in the head with a chair. So he goes up 1-0. Fall number two was a street fight. Cruel hits Justice with a superplex off of a ladder through a table and pins him for the three count. So it's 1-1. And then the final fall is a medical evacuation match, which is essentially an ambulance match. Cruel hits a powerbomb into a flaming table, and the table doesn't really break, but it still looks pretty brutal. Powerbomb into the flaming table, and then he throws Justice into the back of the ambulance, and Cruel gets the win in Three Stages of Destruction. After that, we had the MLW Women's World Featherweight Championship on the line. Jannai Kai defends her retains over Gigi Rae. The finish here was a running super kick in the corner, and Kai retains. After that, we had Kenta over Bobby Fish in another Opera Cup first-round match. Kenta advances after hitting Fish with a go to sleep. And the main event of the show, we had a no-ropes death match where Matt Riddle defeats Sami Callihan. Stipulation here is Riddle is no longer the number one contender for the MLW Championship. If he loses, he got that right by winning Battle Riot recently. Riddle, of course, does win, so his championship shot is still intact. The finish here, like the ring's totally destroyed. Matt Riddle grabs like one of the ropes, puts it in Callahan's mouth, and just pulls back, kind of like a really nasty camel clutch almost. And Callahan taps out. So Riddle is still, once again, the number one contender. After the show, we see outside that Cruel and Minoru Suzuki, along with some Contra members, are attacking Akira and Kojima. Moving on, got some spoilers. So spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you don't want MLW spoilers, go ahead and fast forward. I have the timestamps below in the description here on FightfulSelect.com. Won't spend too much time on these, so the show doesn't run super long. But if you want MLW spoilers, they're coming at you right now. And if you don't, once again, description below for timestamps. These are the results for MLW Never Say Never 2024. This was, of course, taped. This was on July 12th. It's going to be airing on August 10th. I believe it'll be for free on YouTube, on the MLW YouTube channel. This is also from the Coliseum in St. Petersburg. These are the results. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. We got Gigi Rae over Johnny Gage. We have a non-Opera Cup tournament match. Well, It says non-title. I've got that wrong. Non-title Opera Cup first round match. Okay. Bad Dude Tito, his title's on the line, over Danny Jones. That makes sense. But so Bad Dude advances in the tournament, but non-title. Makes sense. After that, we had Brett Ryan Gosselin, BRG, over Jake Crist. We got AJ Francis over Davey Boy Smith Jr. by disqualification. Got Delmi Exo over Renee Michelle. Got another Opera Cup first round match. Alex Kane over Mr. Thomas. Another Opera Cup first round match. Mystico over Magnus. And then what looks like the main event of the tapings, we have Contra Unit, the team of Kwan, Cruel, and Suzuki over Akira, Matt Riddle, and Satoshi Kojima. So that's some good stuff to look forward to Never Say Never. I'm especially interested to see that six-man tag match. I think that's going to be a banger. A lot of history, of course, with Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas, so interested to see what happens there. So, yeah, good stuff going on going forward for MLW. Moving on, got results. We'll do some quick results for DPW. This is DPW's Tag Festival. This was taped on July 7th. It aired on July 13th. It was from Raleigh, North Carolina. And this is, of course, Deadlock Pro Wrestling. You can catch it on dpwondemand.com. These are the results. Had a dark match where Fancy Ryan Clancy defeats Manny Lowe. We had another dark match, Ichiban over Grant Watts. Actual show started. First round matches for the DPW Tag Festival. We had Miracle Generation, the team of Dustin Waller and Kylan King, over Above the Rest, the team of Tristan Tai and Gabriel Sky, to advance. After that, we had MXM, the team of Mansoor and Mason Madden, advancing in the first round over Allen Angels and Judas Icarus, who had Travis Williams on the outside. After that, we had GYV, Grizzled Young Veterans, the team of James Drake and Zach Gibson. They defeat the Motor City Machine Guns, the team of Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. That is a stacked first-round match. GYV gets the win over MCMG to advance. After that, we had another first-round match, Bounces Forever, VIF, my favorite tag team in the world, Kevin Q and Dominic Guarini. They defeat the West Coast Wrecking Crew, team of Darrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs. After that, we had some non-tournament matches. This was a Battle of the Best first-round match. Well, so a different type of tournament, rather. High-end over Kylie Ray. We had Titus Alexander over Speedball Mike Bailey. Two of my favorites in the world to watch right there. We had the DPW National title on the way in a three-way match. This was a vacant title to crown a new champion. Adam Priest defeats BK Westbrook and Kevin Blackwood. Huge Saturday night for Adam Priest. Not only did he win the SCI Live, he also won the DPW National title taped. So, huge for Priest, any style. And the main event of the show, the DPW Tag Festival Finals. This is a four-way match to crown the tournament champions. We have VIF, Bounces Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Q. They defeat GYV, James Drake, and Zach Gibson. Miracle Generation, Kylan King and Dustin Waller, and MXM, Mansoor and Mason Madden, to win the tournament. So congratulations once again to my favorite tag team in the world, Dominic Greene and Kevin Q. Violence is forever. Moving on, got some results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on July 12th. I always say to watch it on Hulu because that's where I watch the shows. We had three matches, and we actually had two backstage kind of like quick interview segments instead of the one we normally get. So add a little extra this week, making a little bit more of a show a little bit. First match we had was Malik Blade over Cutler James. The finish of this one was a blockbuster followed up by a top rope frog splash, D'Lo Brown style, lowdown style for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a quick interview with Hank and Tank. They basically interviewed themselves and used about a bunch of football terminology that the other interviewers that's there does not understand. The next match we had was Tatum Paxley over Layla Diggs. The finish here was Paxley hitting the psycho trap for the 1-2-3. After that, we had another quick backstage interview with Uriah Connors and Dion Lennox. And basically, Uriah talks about how nice guys finish last, and they're going to be in the main event in tag team action. That match right here is the result. We had Hank Walker and Tank Ledger, Hank and Tank, defeating Uriah Connors and Dion Lennox. The finish here was a combination running power slam and running crossbody onto Lennox by Hank and Tank for the 1-2-3. I've said it a bunch about this show. I always enjoy what we get out of these because I go into it with the right mindset. But Uriah Connors, has a super bright future, fourth generation, son of Fit Finley. They're going to slow build him over years in this company. Hank and Tank, I think, would be great on, more of like the main NXT show or Raw or SmackDown. I'm a big fan of these guys. I think they have a lot of charisma. They give me a lot of like Public Enemy, kind of Disorderly Conduct type vibes. Like they give me serious WCW 90s tag team vibes. And I love that. And they're both getting better and better. They're a great tag team. They complement one another. I honestly think there's really, really, really bright futures as a tag team for Hank and Tank. So once again, that's NXT Level Up. And I'm going to wrap up today's show with some quick TNA Slammiversary predictions. As I mentioned at the top of the show, please join myself, Crest the Star, and Joel Pearl immediately following TNA Slammiversary on the main Fightful YouTube channel this Saturday night for our Fightful post-show review. Always look forward to doing the big TNA pay-per-views. And these are my quick predictions for what I have. I only have 5 matches listed here, so there may be some that's going to be added on Thursday. There might be some stuff I'm missing. Let me just go ahead and refresh this page real quick to see if there's anything that's happened since I... All right, still 5. So I'm going to say, all right, we got the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team titles, the Militia, the team of Alicia Edwards and Masha Slamovich, defending against Spitfire, the team of Danny Luna and Jody Threat. I always pick Masha. That might not be smart. I feel like Spitfire could very well win this thing, but I'm too biased. I'm going to go Masha Slamovich and Alicia Edwards, the Militia, to retain. After that, we've got the TNA Digital Media Championship on the line and the Canadian International Heavyweight Championship on the line. This is AJ Francis with Rich Swann in his corner against PCO. I mean, there's no reason to have AJ lose. I have nothing against PCO. I'm a longtime fan of his, but like, I literally feel like every time I watch PCO, it could be the last time because that dude has just broken his body down so crazy. But he's still entertaining. Once again, I don't want to take away from him, but it's just like, I feel like you can kind of put Francis over even more if he has a strong showing and a win over PCO. So that's my logic behind it. I'm going to take AJ Francis. We got Mustafa Ali defending his TNA X Division Championship. Should have Champagne Singh on the outside against Speedball Mike Bailey, who should have Trent Seven on the outside. Me personally, I'd have Speedball win. You know, it's obviously not going to hurt Ali at all. And Speedball, once again, I guess I'm kind of biased because he's one of the most consistent wrestlers in the whole world as far as just guaranteed banger matches against everybody he wrestles and every company he wrestles for. I feel like it's a big, you know, it's a big rub. There's not a whole lot of people that can give Mike Bailey like a big rub really in Impact or TNA that the way that Ali could. And they're going to have an incredible match with one another. So I'm actually going to take Speedball Mike Bailey to win the X Division title. After that, we got Jordan Grace defending the TNA Knockouts World Championship against Ash by Elegance, who should have the personal concierge in her corner. I mean, similar to Masha, I never pick against Jordan, so, like, I'm taking Jordan. Unless there's plans for her to, like, go to NXT full-time and then wind up on, you know, Raw or SmackDown in the very near future, I have no idea why they'd have Jordan lose this. The only reason I could see Jordan losing is, like, a ton of shenanigans, and then that leads to her finally becoming the TNA World Champion, because that's really all that's left for her to achieve at this point in this company. But I'm going to stick with Jordan to retain. And then what I'm assuming is the main event, we have a 6-way elimination match for the TNA World Championship. We got Moose versus Josh Alexander versus Steve Macklin versus Nick Nemeth versus Frank Kazarian versus Joe Hendry. This is tough. This is really tough. Process of elimination. I don't think they're going to go with Nemeth. I don't think they're going to go with Kazarian. It's tough to go against Moose because of how he's been built. And, like, they recently went back to him. I say recently. It has been a while. But I don't think he gets out of this. I mean, he's coming into this thing with the championship. There's 6 people. It's elimination style. There's a lot of room for him to lose this thing. So I don't think Moose gets out with the title. So that comes down to Josh Alexander and Joe Hendry. Josh Alexander already had probably the best run he's ever going to have with that championship. Nothing against him once again. Like, don't want this to be like I'm dissing Josh Alexander because I'm not. I'm a huge fan of his. But like, he already had probably what will be the best run of his career with that TNA championship. Now, that said, if he's in TNA for the foreseeable future, that's really the ultimate goal. And that's probably what he should be doing, is being the champion or chasing the title. But I mean, the obvious one here for a lot of reasons is Joe Hendry. I mean, he got a ton of buzz, obviously, with the NXT crossover. And I mean, he deserves it, honestly. I'd have no problem with Joe Hendry winning this thing. I've said years ago, he had a match with Moose on one of these big shows. I can't remember if it was Bound for Glory or Slammiversary or what, but I remember Joe Henry versus Moose. It really stuck out. It was Digital Media Championship. And the two of those guys stole the show. And, you know, Moose has had some really good matches, but a lot of the time it takes a good opponent, like any match, really. But, you know, Moose is one of those guys where, like, he really benefits from having a really good opponent to really highlight how good he can be. And I think that Joe Hendry really showed me a lot in that one. He hasn't missed since. I mean, once again, just the buzz alone of Joe Hendry and, like, the social media impressions and the ratings and stuff. Like, I think that, you know, he's created a ton of buzz, especially with, you know, of course, the NXT crossover. So I just do it. I mean, I'll just go and say I'll take Joe Hendry to win the TNA World Championship. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk_. Please use code FightTalk on IndependentWrestling.tv. And please watch The Spotlight every Thursday morning with myself and Jeremy Lambert. That is 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We talk the world of pro wrestling. We talk WWE, AEW, Indies, a whole bunch of other stuff. And we have interviews for y'all. As I mentioned, the plan the next couple weeks is Adam Priest and Jameson Shook. Also, as I mentioned earlier, please keep a lookout if I attend Action Wrestling Show this upcoming Sunday. I'll try to have some stuff for you guys right here on Fightful Select and other Fightful platforms. That said, once again, I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy professional wrestling.